movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
One thing that Nancy and I have never talked about is the fact that we collect old videotapes or VHS tapes. You know, I hit pawn shops and resale consignment shops and even some antique shops to try and add to the collection. And actually, we've never posted it, but we've got about 2,000 or so tapes. And, you know, obviously our favorites are the cheesy B horror and grindhouse type movies, and they take me back, you know, to when I was first introduced to movies, because that was the best stuff, you know, at the time. But I got a pretty good digitizing setup rigged to transfer tape to DVD, and most of the movies I've already made copies of. I don't sell any of them, but have a 80s movies night a few times a month at a local pub, where a bunch of us get together, just, you know, friends and stuff, and watch the movies, dissect and discuss them, and drink some beers or whatever. Well, it's gotten to the point where I'll get tips from people on where to find movies or anything like that. I got a call just the other day, in fact, from some guy that said he knew of a place that was just a couple towns over, but said I should hurry because it was about to be torn down, and I think he said it was going to be turned into a shopping center or something. And he didn't give his name, and I didn't ask for it, but, you know, whatever. I took down the address, and I went the next day after work. Place wasn't hard to find. I could tell the building was far older than anything in the surrounded area, because it was just a dilapidated, run-down mess. Windows were boarded up and graffiti with broken bottles, you know, thrown here and there. There was a fence around the place with a gate. And when I got there, you know, it was still daytime. So I walked the perimeter and didn't see anybody. And I didn't want to get busted for trespassing, but I went to check the gate to see if it was unlocked, and if it was, I figured I'd just, you know, what the hell, run inside and see what I could find. The inside was really not any better than the outside. Old cardboard beds for, I have to assume, homeless people and or teens having sex or whatever they were doing. More bottles in the corners and all over the floors, and makeshift toilets, and I'm not sure what the place used to be, but it looked like shit now. The main room that you first walk into was pretty big, easily several thousand square feet, and it was covered with all the aforementioned trash. I didn't see anything when I walked in that resembled a box of tapes or even a single tape in the area. I figured I'd just keep walking in and see if I could look around and find the room that he was talking about. I didn't have a flashlight with me. I just used my phone to illuminate the path. Found some offices and some kitchen area. No tapes. Still more offices and more offices and more cardboard bedding and still no tapes. I figured, you know, 5 more minutes and I'm leaving. If I can't find it by then, you know, the call must have just been a crank or whatever. So, you know, I didn't want to risk getting hurt or breaking a bone or getting caught breaking in. And, you know, actually, now that I thought about it, why would there be any tapes in here anyway? It seems like an odd place for them to be. But clearly, this was an office building of some sort, but not a movie store or department store or somewhere that, when it was alive and being used, would have maybe had VHS tapes in it. The only thing lived here in recent memory was probably bums and cockroaches. And I figured, you know, 5 minutes is up. It's time to go. And I went down the steps from back the way I came. And I ran into somebody and it scared the shit out of me. You know, I remember shouting at the guy, "Why don't you watch where you're going?" It didn't even occur to me that somebody else was actually in this building. And then, once it dawned on me, I got scared, obviously, as some people would. He didn't look like an official security guard, but he had on dark cargo pants and jack boots with a dark shirt to match. I remember shouting, "Shit, shit, shit, where'd you come from, man? I didn't know." Scared the crap out of me. He just said, "I saw you duck in here a few minutes ago. What are you doing?" So I told him about the collar, and I told him about the boxes, and told him what I did. You know, that I try and salvage old VHS tapes and convert them to, DVD or whatever. And he told me to go check the basement, told me to obviously watch my step. But he said, "Go to the end of the long hall," and he goes, "You might be able to find it if you look hard enough." He says, "I remember seeing a box down there. It was tucked in behind some old pipes." And I, you know, made sure it was okay. And then he said, "Yeah, you know," so I went on my way. Basement was freaky as hell. Putrid stench that could best be described as stale piss and rotting rat corpses. The lighting, if you can even call it that, was horrible. So again, I used my phone to light my way, and you know, I thought to myself, if I didn't find these things soon, the tapes, I'd easily succumb to the foul bouquet. Couple twists and turns and a long walk, and I was finally there. And sure enough, the dude was right. The box was stuffed behind a couple old pipes. Probably had, I don't know, maybe 30 tapes in it. That was the good news. The bad news was that none of the movies had cover boxes, and the box they were in was in such bad shape I had to hold it together while fumbling with my phone for light, making sure I didn't crack my head on a pipe or step in a pile of anything disgusting. So I made my way back up the stairs as I started, or the stairs I came down. As soon as I got to the top, the bottom ripped open and every tape spilled onto the floor. Quickly arranged them into three stacks and fashioned what I could of the box back together. I didn't see the security guard, so I just made my way out and put the tapes in the trunk and made my way home. I had the tapes loaded up and I could smell the just putrid rot of that building on me, so I took off my clothes and put them in the trunk as well. And as soon as I got home, I just stripped down, hopped in the shower, and that was it. Fresh clothes, and figured I'd pop in a tape to see what I was dealing with. Rooting through the last hall, I could see that a few were dated, which leads me to believe that they were all home videos of some sort, which for my collection isn't really helpful, but whatever. Either way, I saw the first non-dated copy. Short Circuit showed up on the screen. Nice, but I already have it. Second tape went in. Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Cool. Already got it, but still. Couple more movies. Flight of the Navigator, Space Camp, Terminator 2, Pretty Woman. All good movies, give or take, but none I needed, so I just tossed those aside and started in with the dated tapes. I had already arranged them by date, starting at the earliest, so I put in the first one. There's a patient sitting in a chair. He was wearing a light blue jumpsuit. He was scratching at his arms vigorously, so much so that they were bleeding and running onto his clothes. The screen off the doctor off the screen was asking him questions regarding his need to scratch. In the upper corner, a timestamp showed January 8th, 1991. On the bottom was a digital imprint, 701-4664, which I assumed was the patient number. This went on for a number of minutes, nearly 25. Meanwhile, patient 701-4664 had nearly scratched his arm down to muscle, shreds of skin falling off onto his lap and onto the floor. I turned the tape off. I couldn't take that anymore. Figured I'd try another tape. Tape 2, dated January 13th, 1991. Another patient, sitting in a chair, 402-2177. This one sits, rocking back and forth, playing with her hair and mumbling to herself about something. The doctor, asking questions that go unanswered for nearly 15 minutes. Tape 3, January 28th, 1991. 4533-619. This patient appears more normal outwardly. The doctor asks questions about the patient's children. He says they were never his to begin with and that he had to dispose of them to stop them from talking. What do you mean, stop talking? The doctor asked. I didn't have a second to be by myself. I only wanted to quiet the talking so they would stop filling me with lies. What are these lies you speak of? Why do you think they were lying to you in the first place? The patient said, it was never enough to just send them outside. I had to get rid of them. They lied. Everything was a lie. It doesn't matter now, though. I did what I had to, and now I'm here. Heard enough of that one, so I shut it off and threw it aside. September 3rd, 1991. Patient 901-3325. It looked as if this one had fallen asleep in the chair. She was sitting cross-legged with her arms folded in her lap. The doctor asked a few questions, and then without warning, the lady sprung from the chair almost superhumanly and jumped at the doctor off-screen. She was screeching at him, speaking in tongues it almost sounded like, and the tape went black. I'll do some research tomorrow and find out what I can about these tapes. Whoever called me about them should have known something, but I'll have to do a reverse number search to see if I can figure out who the caller actually was. The next day, my research revealed that the building used to be a psychiatric and mental rehabilitation office that closed under mysterious circumstances years ago. Nothing I could find said why, just that one day the place was shut down and was boarded up. The story said that soon after its closing, it became a haven for the homeless in the area and was also plagued by drug users and sex traffickers. No mention of why it stood for so long after closing, though. I skipped a few dates and went to tape 8. This one dated June 14th, 1992. Patient 901-3325 again. In this one, she was laying on the table, naked from the waist up. She had straps on both arms and one across her hips, obviously to keep her from lunging again. The camera was somehow positioned above her, and again, the doctor was asking questions from off-screen. The woman struggled at her restraints, and she was, like, biting at the air, like she was trying to catch insects in her mouth. Someone came into view from the top and attached a sensor to her head. You could hear the doctor say, "Now!" And the woman convulsed and writhed on the table until she passed out. The screen faded to black again. Tape 13, September 5, 1992. 909-1252. A younger-looking man, held by straps at his wrist to a wall. He fought and pulled against them to the point blood began to seep from the wounds underneath. And there was a box set on the floor just out of reach to him. I didn't hear anything from the doctor this time, only the yelling from the patient. I couldn't see what was in the box, so I just shut this one off, too. Thought to myself, you know, this shit's getting weirder and weirder with every passing tape. Think I figured out, though, why the building was shut down. Seems the doctors began playing games with their power on these patients and must have gotten caught doing it. Tape 17. December 27th, 1992, 5422-647. Another patient, strapped to a table, a doctor, visible this time, standing over him, partially blocking the view. The doctor backed away to reveal a 2-foot-long incision in the patient's chest. Blood pouring onto the table now, his rib cage held to the side with clamps, his heart still beating and lungs still breathing. I turned it off immediately. What the fuck is this? The tapes were getting progressively worse as they went on. I didn't want to watch anymore, but I couldn't look away. Tape 20, January 6, 1993. 9244-237 and 0244-374. Two women being forced to have sex with each other. Clearly for the pleasure of the staff, they were covered in blood. Just absolutely hideous. Turned it off. Tape 22, February 7th, 1993. Two men this time being filmed through a window in the door. They were fighting each other. Punches, kicks, chokes. They continued on until one man dug his thumbs deep into the eyes of the other. The man fell to the ground in a heap of flesh and blood, not moving now, but just making strange gurgling noises until he stopped. I'm nearly in tears from the shock and repulsiveness on this tapes. Tape 25, March 3rd, 1993. Patient 774-6366. He's tied down being force-fed something, and I can see that he's crying and choking on the slop. Every time he moves his head to avoid being fed, an orderly full-on punches him in the gut. Not only is he crying from the feeding, he's in serious, crippling pain. Finally, after the last accepting swallow, the orderly hits him once, twice, three times, until the man vomits blood and passes out or just dies. Tape 29, the last one, thank God. June 11th, 1993. Patients 533-6488 and 2644-864, both tied down in chairs next to each other. Doctor, standing behind him, reaches forward and pulls the tops off each of their heads. First the left, then the right. From behind his surgical mask, you could see an evil grin growing. "I done it," he says. "I've completed my work here. My playthings of the damned and soulless. Only through complete destruction can true evil endure. Fear and pain are born into every soul. Evil is learned. And I've become a teacher, a master. Through my evil, this world will understand just what depths human can reach." I turned off the TV immediately and boxed up the tapes and drove like crazy mad to the police. I ran through the front and yelled to speak to someone in charge. When asked why, I just blubbered the basics of what I found, and I had only watched 5 or 10 minutes of most of each tape. I can only imagine what the rest looked like. I was told to take a seat and someone would be with me shortly. A few minutes later, the tapes were collected from me, and the detective started to walk off with them. I asked him what's going to happen with the tapes. He just turned to me, gave me an evil, devilish grin, and said, These are the tapes I've been looking for, and we're going to see just what depths humans can reach." It was at that point I knew I was screwed.